Nerdrotic.com.
Welcome back to Nerdrotic. My name is Gary Beekler, and I come to you from Nerdrotic.com, and we need to talk about X-Men Dark Phoenix. But more importantly, we need to talk about your hard-earned money and your time. Neither of them should be wasted on something that shouldn't have seen the light of day. Now, X-Men Dark Phoenix was written by Simon Kinberg, who also wrote X-Men The Last Stand. You know who was supposed to direct X-Men The Last Stand? Matthew Vaughn. You know who ended up directing it? Brett Ratner. And guess what? It was still a better film than this one. Not that X-Men Dark Phoenix is terrible. I can't even muster up any feelings to hate it. It's just bland and a complete waste of time. And again, a waste of one of the greatest storylines in the history of Marvel Comics and the history of comics, the Dark Phoenix Saga. And now Marvel can't go back to the well for a third time. Why did they release this movie? What made it fail? Sophie Turner. I'm sorry to say, she is not a leading actress. She doesn't have the gravitas, charisma, and not a very good American accent. I don't even remember her from X-Men Age of Apocalypse. That's how much I feel. And I am was a huge Game of Thrones fan. And I was a fan of hers in the first few seasons of Game of Thrones until the writing let her down. But she only has so much range. I think there'll be 50 states she won't be working in soon. I mean, the acting was god-awful. Even by James McAvoy and Michael Fassbender, who did the best they could with the script they were given. You can tell there were multiple reshoots. You can tell half of this movie is missing. Now, I will be getting into spoilers because I don't want to do two videos on this, but I will give you plenty of warning. The first few minutes of this video will just be my non-spoiler thoughts. Now, we have to acknowledge that it's been almost 20 years since the first X-Men movie came out, and I think to celebrate that and possibly budget restraints, the effects in this film look like they came from that era, and so is the storytelling. It is so basic, so flat, and when I get into the spoiler territory, you'll be surprised at how much you already know from watching the trailers. I'll just finish the non-spoiler stuff by saying Jennifer Lawrence plays a patronizing character throughout her entire performance, and it's very annoying. We don't see much at all of the other characters, and fan favorite Peter Maximoff as Quicksilver is sidelined for most of the movie. It feels like there's giant chunks of the story missing. Again, it feels like you're watching an hour and a half trailer. Thankfully, it wasn't very long, and Jessica Chastain as the alien being that were formerly supposed to be Skrulls, but they changed them to something. I can't even remember the name, and I don't even care. She was just robotic in her performance and really just a mustache-twirling villain. There was no real background to them at all. You get to see the Fox discount version of Genosha, which looks like a hippie commune sleeping off Burning Man the night before. Really not much to it. Very disappointing, just like the entire film. There is only one scene I liked, but it's a spoiler, so you're going to have to wait until the spoiler section. And you know what? That's about all I have to say non-spoiler about the film. Don't waste your time. Just stick around for the spoiler section. You can hear about the film and then go on about your day. This should have never been called X-Men Dark Phoenix. It was more like X-Men Opaque Phoenix. It never really got that dark. So here come the spoilers. If you really care at this point, shut off the video. Come back later after you've seen the film. But honestly, just don't see the film and listen to the spoilers. Here we go. X-Men Opaque Phoenix, or X-Men The Dark Patriarchy. Well, it wasn't a major overtone in this film, but it definitely had the 2019 sentiment of patriarchy bad, and of course, a bad father. We start out the film with young Jean Grey killing her mom. And we all saw that in the trailer. And we also saw in the trailer that Charles Xavier suppressed that in her memory to spare her from the guilt of killing her mom. But he also convinced her that her father died too. And there's a dark turn to that. And he had a good reason to do it. But of course, everybody judges Charles harshly when they find out. The film starts out with what we have been waiting for 20 years into the X-Men, and we finally see them as heroes in costumes, being praised by humanity. The hated and feared mutants is finally over, and it's so tired, but I'm sure Disney will bring it back because it's so topical these days. Because the X-Men, that's all they did. They were just hated and feared the whole time. They never did hero stuff. Well, they kind of go into space. They go into orbit and they save some astronauts and they encounter the Phoenix Force, but they never call it the Phoenix Force at all. Actually, Phoenix is only mentioned once in passing when some kids think it would be a cool name for Jean Grey. Well, they save the astronauts. She encounters the Phoenix Force. She almost dies, but lives, and her powers get amped up and they take her back. We have Jennifer Lawrence as the condescending, horribly miscast Mystique. Rebecca Romijn, you were so much better as Mystique. And Mystique is a villain. Now, Mystique is mad at Charles because he's got a bit of an ego and he's not going out and getting in the adventures with them and not risking his skin, you know, because he can do so much from his wheelchair. But let's say, for the sake of the story, because we want to paint the patriarchy as bad, and Charles Xavier does represent the patriarchy, and no, it's not that heavy-handed, but it's there, and it is repeated. Thankfully, Jennifer Lawrence isn't in the film very much. There's a lot of condemnation and chewing out of Charles in this film, and it starts out with, of course, the condescending Jennifer Lawrence doing the now infamous ex-women line. I did an entire video about that card right here. Later, after Hank checks out that Jean Grey's powers are off the chart and he needs to invent a new machine because they can't measure it, they go to a party. And at this party, we have the best scene in the film, which is a very short scene with fan favorite, Orville fan favorite, Halston Sage as Dazzler. And it was a cool little scene, but then it goes right back to the boring, mundane film. We also see Jessica Chastain turn into what was supposed to be the Skrulls, like I said before, and they turned into some other being. Again, can't remember their name. They come down to the planet because they're following the Phoenix Force that's not called the Phoenix Force. Well, this Phoenix Force that's not called the Phoenix Force is breaking down the barriers in Jean Grey's mind, and she hears her father's voice, and she finds out he's alive, so she goes to see him. This, of course, is after she had a little freak out at the party and injured Scott. She's afraid she's going to hurt people. That's another reason why she left. She goes to visit her father. Of course, Charles Xavier then has to admit that he messed with her mind. Mystique once again chews out Charles, being ungrateful and condescending after Charles has brought about human and mutant peace. I know, what a jerk. Down with the patriarchy. So they have to get to Jean before she gets to her father. Too bad they're too late. She finds out that her father didn't want her because, of course, it's a Hollywood dad, bad dad, and maybe they need to find some new role models, and maybe they need to find some new men in Hollywood, that is for sure. But we go back to the action. The X-Men are in costume, and they take on this now Dark Phoenix. What brings about the Dark Phoenix besides the power? Finding out her daddy didn't want her, completely ignoring the fact that she was taken in by a better family. She takes on and fights the X-Men and kicks all of their asses, injuring Quicksilver so bad that he is out of the movie. Yes, Quicksilver is out of the movie. We don't see him until the very end. Now, prior to this little adventure, Mystique wanted to quit the team because she was tired of Charles. He's a changed Charles because patriarchy. And Hank talks her out of it. Well, she ends up dying at the hands of the Dark Phoenix, which we don't call the Dark Phoenix. She's only referred to by some kids at the party as the Phoenix. Oh, that'd be a cool name, and they don't bring it up again. And again, they don't call it the Phoenix Force. So Jennifer Lawrence's Mystique dies, and nobody cares. They do a quick funeral scene. There is a horrible speech by James McAvoy that looks like one of the reshoots because he's sitting there alone all of a sudden at the funeral. And we carry on. Jean Grey feels guilty. There's some scenes of crying in the rain. Oh, and we also, during the funeral scene, we got the above shot with the black umbrellas, because we've never seen that in a superhero film before. Now that Mystique is gone, it's Hank's turn to chew out Charles and say everything's his fault. Then Jean goes to poor man's Genosha and finds Magneto. He tells her to bail because he has a deal with the government and they can live there in peace. And they do look like they're sleeping one off after Burning Man, and it's very disappointing. The military shows up saying they're looking for Jean Grey, and she destroys one of the helicopters, almost kills all the military guys, and Eric tells her to leave because she has put all those peaceful mutants in danger. The shape-shifting gray alien that is Jessica Chastain is part of a race that died out, and they're trying to restart their world, and of course they want to use Earth and the Phoenix Force that's not called a Phoenix Force. They are trying to track down Jean Grey. They find her father, interrogate him, and of course, kill him. In the meantime, Hank has quit the X-Men, and he decides to go over to Eric's side, and he tells Eric that Jean killed Raven. He gets mad, and they both decide that they're going to go kill Jean. The non-Skrull gray alien shape-shifting Jessica Chastain finds Jean Grey and convinces her that she is the conduit of the Phoenix Force that we're not calling the Phoenix Force. It destroyed their planet, and they want to rebuild a new one using her. The non-Skrull gray alien Jessica Chastain shows Jean Grey the secrets of the Phoenix Force, and then Eric and Hank and the rest of the non-X-Men attack, and the X-Men also show up there, and they end up fighting. During this fight, the level 5 mutant that is Storm decides to fist fight a guy and not use her Storm powers that much because, well, budget. And we get some pretty cool Nightcrawler visuals, but that's about it. Magneto almost gets killed by the Dark Phoenix that we're not calling the Dark Phoenix, using the Phoenix Force that we're not calling the Phoenix Force. And then Charles Xavier, after being completely humiliated by the Dark Phoenix, gets through to her. And that is pretty much the end of the real Dark Phoenix storyline. I crap you not. That is it. Jessica Chastain gets blown away by Cyclops. Oh yeah, Cyclops, Ready Player One guy is in this movie, but you wouldn't even know it, and he's very forgettable. And they end up getting caught by the government after this fight, and they end up in a train, and it looks a lot like the scene from X-Men 3, where they're all captured. And of course, they're all captured in a big train, and we're in the third act, and it feels like the movie has only been going for about an hour, because that's about all it was. It felt like an hour and a half movie. It might have been longer, but so much didn't go on in this. I really just started, you know, looking at my phone, so I can't say I was totally paying attention all the time, but I don't think I missed very much. There's a big, long battle at the end to fight the aliens who attack the government train. All the government guys die. The aliens are super powered, by the way, and the bad X-Men and the good X-Men team up, and they defeat the aliens, and the Dark Phoenix finally kills the rest of them by evaporating them, kind of the same way Femke did in X-Men The Last Stand. There is a lot of parallels, and that's not the movie you want to have a lot of parallels with. So Jean decides that she is too dangerous. When Scott gets too close to her, he starts evaporating himself. She takes the non-Skrull gray alien Jessica Chastain into space and blows herself up. Movie over. They rename the Xavier School for Gifted Youngsters to the Jean Grey School of Gifted Youngsters. Professor X retires, plays chess with Magneto at the end, and Hank takes over the school. The end of the X-Men franchise after 20 not-so-storied years. And we just need to talk about Fox, how they almost got it right. There was a couple of moments where we're like, hey, maybe they figured this X-Men thing out. X-Men First Class was the best of them all. X-Men Days of Future Past was good because of Hugh Jackman. Deadpool is one of the all-time great comic book films. Why? Because Fox left them alone. Legion is right up there too. I know a lot of people don't watch Legion, but it's really one of the best things Fox did with the X-Men. And we can't forget Logan, which was an all-timer. So they did do some things right, but really, Bryan Singer derailed what could have been great with this cast that Matthew Vaughn started with First Class, but somehow that guy got his fingers on the X-Men again. So he ruined one franchise twice and another franchise, Superman. So he's going to go down in history in Hollywood as being, well, one of Hollywood's biggest creepers, in my opinion, and really one of the worst superhero film directors. One who admitted never reading comics before, and it really showed. You know, there was a time I was very excited at the prospect that the MCU would be taking on the X-Men. Kevin Feige would be finally getting the X-Men. But I'm not so excited anymore considering the turn that the MCU has recently taken. Now, hopefully, Spider-Man Far From Home changes that and we were all wrong and we can just carry on enjoying the MCU that we have loved for 10 years. But it just feels like things are coming to an end. This film puts superhero films back 20 years, and I'm not even kidding. Some of the effects were terrible in this. Do not waste your time. And Disney is handed a giant turd. They cannot go back to the Dark Phoenix storyline again. Maybe if they do it, maybe in 25 years, but hell, I'm going to be like 75 when that happens. No joke, 75. But I'll probably be excited to see it if I remember anything. I watched this movie in Daly City, which is adjacent to San Francisco. It's a giant theater that's usually packed for a Marvel film. There was about 30 people in that giant theater. No joke. It was quiet, nobody cared, and people couldn't wait to get out of there, including myself, once the film was over. What a sad ending to this X-Men franchise, and absolute proof, in my opinion, that Hollywood will never be able to get superheroes right. The closest we'll ever get is the MCU, and even that wasn't perfect, but of course we have the source material. Instead of wasting money on this film, go to your local comic store, if there is one near you. Ask the nice person behind the counter to find you The Dark Phoenix Saga by Chris Claremont and John Byrne, and enjoy. You will not regret it. Until the next time, everybody have a great day. Please like, share, and subscribe. Go to nerdrotic.com for my live stream schedule. There'll be more videos to come, and may the free folk sing songs of your greatness.
nerdrotic.com. Please subscribe.